Hi!
I'm Tammy.
I'm Leanne.
And you're listening to Incrimination.
Woo! I wanted to sing like the, this is Halloween.
Why didn't you?
But copyright, never mind.
But you just sang it.
But, well, I think it's fine. Okay. That's not, we're not playing the soundtrack, so we're
Are
fine.
Are we allowed to sing it?
I don't know. It could be very wrong.
Well, I feel like we're small enough that no one will give a shit.
We're not gonna get slapped with a yeah. With a lawsuit. There's no way.
I don't even know who the author of that or the is the author, the artist,
the artist. Yeah.
Yeah.
No clue. Then. Welcome to our Halloween episode, where this year we will actually do some spooky tales instead of talking about how spooky our own lives are.
Oh yeah, that is the theme of last time.
Yeah, it was. I totally but forgot. we've got some good tidbits and stories and urban legends for you today. And so whether you want to listen to this on Halloween or before, because it's gonna come out a little bit before Halloween, is up to you. Or if you want to savor it and leave it to Halloween to listen to, then that's up to you as well. But
you do you, boo boo.
Yeah. Boo.
Yeah, so I have a feeling this episode is just gonna be filled with random screams.
Yeah, if you haven't noticed, we don't have a sound effects. We are the sound effects. We make our own sound effects.
My voice box is my sound box.
Yes.
My sound box is my voice.
Anytime there's an awkward pause, it's just
There's going to be so many spikes in our volume.
I know. I'm already looking at my Audacity and I'm like, we'll figure it out after.
Anyway. So today, we're doing something a little different. If you can't tell, we didn't have a really fun fact at the beginning of this episode, because this is just all going to be fun facts today. Leanne and I took off on our own to do research on some scary stories from Southeast Asia for myself and East Asia for Leanne. We are going to be taking turns telling ghost stories, and at the end, we'll see, I don't know, which country has the spookiest of the spook spooks.
Spookiest of spook spooks. Yeah. Very spook spook.
Very spook spook.
Also, I'm seeing my own leg in... What? I think it's okay now. I was like, I could see myself leg in my video. In Discord. Like, I raised my hand and then my hand came out like 2 seconds later and it was just very eerie. I was like, I don't like this. Okay. All right. Let's start this episode in Japan. One of the spookiest of the spook spooks. I think there are so many urban legends to pick from Japan.
Yeah.
And the one that I kind of just landed with, just based on looking around and finding one that I didn't really know about, it is about Hanako-san. Have you heard about Hanako-san?
Yeah. Well, I feel like...
I haven't heard about it.
Her name's like thrown around a lot. Spooks.
Yeah, it was actually a very common name back in, I think, like 1940s, 1930s-ish, apparently. Yeah. I don't know if it's as popular anymore because of this.
Do you think, like, people stopped naming their kid Mary after Bloody Mary stories came out?
Probably.
Okay.
I am, like, pretty certain. I mean, I'm not going to name my kid Mary.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah. So, if you haven't heard about Hanako-san, her kind of other name is Hanako of the Toilet, basically. And so she is a spirit who roams around haunting school toilets and is often described as this little girl who has a bob for a haircut. She's wearing a red skirt or like a red dress. Or kind of just like a school uniform that you see a lot in Japan.
But red.
Okay. So it's like blood. But not with blood, but it's just with red.
Yeah, because usually aren't uniforms like navy or like blue usually?
Yeah, but hers was like a red skirt. And some describe her having a burn scar on her face as well.
Okay.
there are several accounts of why she roams and haunts the school toilets. The first one is that she was murdered by a stranger or an abusive parent in one of the school toilets. Others say that she actually committed suicide in one of the stalls. And in other versions, they say that she was killed during an air raid during World War II while playing hide and seek with her classmates.
Oh, that's so sad.
That one was really sad. I mean, all of them are actually really sad, but yeah. She's like a young girl and a young spirit that roams the toilets.
Oh.
And so as Tammy alluded to earlier, when we talked about Bloody Mary, to summon Hanako-san, you have to go to the girls' washroom, and they usually go to the third floor. You knock three times on the third stall in the washroom and ask whether Hanako-san is there.
Mm-hmm.
If she is, then you'll hear her reply, "Yes, I am."
Oh, man. I would shit my pants.
I would. First, I wouldn't do this in the first place.
I'm so scared.
I cannot.
I don't even think I've done Bloody Mary.
I remember doing Bloody Mary at my house with some of my, childhood
friends.
We did it, I said it three times and I literally just started screaming.
I think that's what happens every time.
And I just ran out, nothing happened, but you just say it and you already get so scared.
Psych yourself out.
Yeah, I would shit my pants too. Some stories say that after you summon her, you'll see a bloody or a ghostly hand which comes out of the washroom and out of the stall, pulling you into the toilet and straight down to hell.
Oh my god. Wait, so is her arm, really long?
I guess it's a ghost demon thing, right? It just, shoots out and just grabs you and pulls you in.
Oh, freaky deaky.
Freaky deaky, indeed. Other stories, and this story is more common in the Yamagata prefecture, they say that there is a three-headed lizard who will come out of the washroom stall and eat you, because you're invading Hanako's privacy. I'm not sure where this came from.
I respect him.
But you know what? I understand wanting to protect this girl.
Yeah. She's already been through so much.
Yeah. It is a little bit freaky though, you know?
Yeah. I wouldn't want to mess with that lizard.
In terms of actual accounts of people seeing or kind of doing this and trying to summon her, some people have reported seeing paranormal activities when she was present, including flickering lights, bathroom stalls just opening and closing. And these two, for me, I'm like, whatever. Sometimes it's a mechanical issue or there's just fucking breeze or doors open and close, whatever.
Yeah.
And this last one, though, is sometimes they see blood flowing out of the faucets.
No!
And that, for me, I'm just like, that's so fucking creepy. I just cannot. And so Hanako-san can be found in many films, manga, and anime, kind of like you were talking about. You kind of hear her name quite often.
Mm-hmm.
And a quick Google search will bring up several of these series that you can look into and watch if you so desire, especially on Halloween. Despite all of these variations between the school's legends and, you know, different people's accounts of what will happen when you try to summon her, everyone will continue to warn you not to bother her, or you might not make it out alive. So this is remember, I looked into this. Okay, on it. Earlier this week, I was sitting here and I work from home. So I'm sitting at my computer and my washroom is right beside me. Right?
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting here and all of a sudden, my washroom, my bathroom vent just turns on its own. And I literally was like, what the actual fuck?
That after you started researching?
It was before. So I'm glad it was before, because it's not like I found out about it and then it happened, because I would legitimately,
that would've been
not,
so scary.
I would have cried. I would have fucking cried.
Oh my god.
But I think it's just a mechanical issue in my building, because I was talking to my boss about it, because it literally happened right before I hopped onto a call with my boss. And I was like, and he worked in HVAC companies before. He was like, yeah, it happens in big buildings all the time. Oh. It's just an HVAC issue. I was like, okay, that makes sense. Because I haven't gotten it fixed yet, but literally every single day since then, at 2:21, it turns on, and at 3:21, it turns off. So it lasts for an entire hour, and now I know, when it turns on. So it doesn't freak me out anymore. I know it's just it seems very much like a mechanical issue if it's so precise, right?
Yeah, very regular. Or that's her, like, devil number.
Yeah, or that, like, in the afternoon, because they're too, they're like, I don't want to do this at night. Like, this ain't my thing.
Yeah. Like, 3 a.m., not it. 2:21 p.m., though.
I'm awake. We all awake.
Yeah.
But that is the legend of Hanako-san.
Wow. Sick.
Mm-hmm.
Spooky.
All right, your turn, Tammy.
Okay. Okie dokie. So my first story is about the Pontianaks, or the Kuntilanaks from Indonesia, Malaysia. I want to say mostly Malaysia, because that's where most of this the research that I found was mentioning it. But the story of these ghouls, ghosts, demons, whatever, travels all the way to Singapore, Brunei, Philippines, and Thailand, and even a little bit of Japan as well. The word Ponti means tall tree in Malay, and Anak means child. So I've heard that in like Tagalog as well, that mm-hmm. Anak means child. Mm-hmm. So there's like that, they're defined by a connection to children, and they live in trees. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. they are believed to be the vengeful spirits of beautiful pregnant women that haunt the area of Western Kalimantan at the crossing point of Kapuas and Landak rivers. Mm-hmm. The cause of their deaths are unknown, but most theories suggest that it is usually from childbirth or from a very violent murder while they're pregnant. Mm-hmm. But women who die from childbirth don't always become Pontianaks. The only time that they do is when they've suffered at the hands of men brought on by, like, sexual or physical violence.
You know what? I support it.
Right? Fuck it up, sis! You deserve your inventions.
Yeah.
They're one of the most powerful ghosts of Southeast Asia because due to their pregnancy at the time of their death, they actually have two spirits. So of the mother and of the baby, which makes their powers twice as strong. However, they will prey on men, children, and other vulnerable souls. They are depicted as bloodthirsty vampires with long black hair contrasted against long white robes, and use their long nails to disembowel their victims and consume their internal organs.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Like, vengeance, fuck it up, but also, like,
oh, that's brutal.
Don't hurt me.
Please.
There's also a really famous story that describes how Sharif Abdurrahman Al-Qadri, who was a nobleman in the late 1700s to early 1800s, he was gifted the land where the Pontianaks lived. He decided to set up a trading post at the crossing point in the swamp, despite the local Dayak people warning him of the dangers of the Pontianaks. But he decided to push forward, and when the Pontianaks started retaliating and a bunch of spooky shit started happening around his workers, he just decided to fire a cannon into the area in an attempt to scare them off, and destroyed the Pontianaks' home. He also chopped down all the tall trees where they supposedly lived, because, you know, like, they lived up in the trees. And he used the wood to build a mosque and a trading post in the area, and developed it into the city of Pontianak, which is in Malaysia. Or, no, sorry, mm-hmm. in Indonesia now. Mm-hmm. The city actually thrived, and he was made the first sultan of Pontianak.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Some history.
I thought he was going to die.
No, he's chilling. I guess it kind of worked. But yeah. The spirits still very much haunt the people of Indonesia and Malaysia, and they are especially haunted by the scent. So they are associated with the scent of jasmine, frangipani, or plumeria flower. Frangipani? I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but
yes.
And or plumeria flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Usually to mask the scent of rotting flesh.
Holy shit, all right.
And there's also a superstition that the scent of drying laundry will attract a Pontianak. So in Malaysia, people won't leave their laundry out to dry overnight because they're afraid of attracting the ghosts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they say that if you're walking alone at night and you smell something sweet and floral, you're supposed to not say a single word and just keep walking.
I will keep that in mind if I'm ever traveling there, because every time I'm walking here and I smell like something like floral, I'm like, oh my god, it smells so nice. Good.
Yeah, no, don't do that.
Yeah, I'm going to be like, ooh.
If it smells like cinnamon buns, like, you're good. But if you smell like sunflowers, maybe just keep walking.
Just keep walking.
Yeah, don't say anything. Apparently, if you say something, they come for you. But one thing that you can do if you're a little ballsy, they apparently make great wives once they've calmed down. So after you stab her in the neck with a nail, she'll become the perfect housewife and essentially a slave to the person who drove the nail into her neck.
So you just gotta get a ghost wife.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But if you remove the nail, she will go back to her ghost form. But apparently she can't do this herself. So it's all up
to
you.
And so is she immortally there then? Like, she doesn't, and is she in a human form, or is she still in like the interesting?
I'm sure, like, if she turns into a housewife, she'd just be like a normal human again, but then I'm not sure how that works.
Interesting. Very interesting to know.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
Interesting.
But that's the Pontianak.
That's it. Love it.
Okay, I love it. Your turn.
All right. The next one I have isn't so much of like a ghost spook thing, but the story itself is an urban legend in Korea, and the story, when you tell it, as I was reading it, just gave me the spooks. Like,
okay,
I just imagined it and I pictured it happening and I was like, oof. So oof. Here we go.
Okay.
Another legend from Korea is about the man in the elevator.
Is it like...
And this is not to be confused with our elevator game thing from our Lisa Lam story.
Oh, I literally was just going to ask.
Because I was like, if you want to know about that, you can go and listen to our case about Lisa Lam, where we cover the elevator game. But this one is about the man in the elevator. So a 19-year-old girl named Haruko was living on the 14th floor of a relatively old apartment building, and one night she stayed up late at the library just finishing up one of her projects for school.
Haruko?
Yes.
Sounds like a Japanese name.
It does. It says from Korea, but it does sound like a Japanese name. But I don't know.
Because usually just... Korean names are like two syllables.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Upon returning home, it was already dark, which in general she was very uneasy with, just because you just don't want to be there when it's dark. You don't want to walk home when it's dark as like a girl.
Yeah.
She pressed the button to the elevator at the lobby and she just stood there waiting for it to come. When it arrived, she got in and she pressed the number to her floor. Just as the doors were closing, a man came squeezing through the doors. He like forced his arm in between the closing doors. And so they open up again and he steps in. He takes a look at the buttons that are pressed on the panel in the elevator, and he asks the girl, oh, you live on the 14th floor? To which she replied, yes. He said, I live on the 13th, smiling. And as they ascended, he pressed a button for the 13th floor. When they finally got to the 13th floor, he stepped out, saying, see you later.
Oh, I know this one.
And the girl said, yes, see you. And just as the doors were closing behind him, he suddenly whipped around, pulled out a knife, and said, upstairs. So he was like, see you, upstairs. And laughing like a maniac, he started heading in the directions of the staircase. And, you know, I would, in this case, also be shitting my pants. So the girl was just so fucking scared. She was stuck in the elevator, and she couldn't do anything because the doors closed, and she began heading up to the next floor.
Yeah.
She began panicking, trying to get the elevator to stop, but there was nothing she could do because she was just trying to press all the buttons, but it was only one floor and she was already heading there. And as she got to the 14th floor, the door slid open And there he was, just waiting for her.
Oh my god.
There were people who say that this story is actually true and it isn't just an urban legend, mm-hmm. and that the girl was eventually found stabbed to death in the elevator. And so this urban legend is what people say to have led to all elevators now having a stop button. Because imagine if you had a stop button.
You could stop.
So me. That you, that wouldn't happen. And you would never have gotten caught by the man in the elevator. This one's very short. But yes, that is it.
I actually heard that story on one of... So I like to listen to a group called NCT. Mm-hmm. And they like to make content for their YouTube. And they upload content pretty frequently. But one of the content they released recently was NCT Horror Nights. Mm-hmm. And they basically just take turns. Literally this.
Yeah.
But they had fans submit scary stories from their countries or whatever. And wow, I can't believe I just totally plagiarized. I didn't get this idea from them, but they told a bunch of stories, and that was one of them.
Love it.
And so they tell some really good stories on that. If you want to look it up, it's, I think it's like half an hour long. There's yeah. like two episodes where they just sit around a table and tell each other scary stories. But that was one of them. And then one of them followed up with another story that was related to that one. They're like, oh yeah, did you hear about the one where it's like they go up the elevator? I think this is what they said, but on... They go up, but on one of the floors, it's just, like, bloody, scary red.
I would fucking die.
Because you know how they have, like, the little window, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. You know what I love about this, though? Okay.
I live in a telling, house.
Yeah. Oh. I live in an apartment. So, like, this is what I think about now. But also... I love scary stories so much. Like, I love it. I love this exchange yeah. and, like, talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
But at the same time, every time this happens, I'm like, I want to throw up. Like, sometimes I'm like, ooh, that's actually, like, it's spooky enough where mm-hmm. it's spooky and it's realistic enough where you're like, I can see this fucking happening. Because mm-hmm. this is not limited to ghosts. Like, this is, like, a thing where it could just happen, right?
Yeah.
Like, my fucking God.
Yeah.
Anyways, your turn.
But just to go back on the NCT video, like, they yeah. actually have sound effects.
I feel like if we put a spooky soundtrack on the back of this that's, like, royalty-free, it would just heighten the spook, you know?
Yeah, but we also make a lot of jokes.
Yeah, spooky. It's a spooky funny tune. I don't know.
Spooky, scary. Ba-ba-dum-ba-dum-ba.
We're gonna make our own soundtrack.
I'm so upset with... The stomping that's going on right now.
You know
now.
What? It can be part of the background noise. That will be our spooky soundtrack, is yeah. just the stomping above.
Yeah, so, yeah, honestly, maybe it'll make the listeners think that there's someone in their house.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Adding to the experience.
The only time it works.
Yeah, actually. Okay, so my next one, I think this is one of my favorite ones, is the Burmese gnat, and gnat is the word for spirit, from Myanmar, sorry. So her name is Mapewa, also known as the Yellow Ribbon Lady. So just like a bit of background on Burmese gnats. So they're spirits that take on a human form, and there's two kinds. So the 37 great gnats, there's like a group of like 37 specific ones, and those are spirits mm-hmm. of people that died like a very violent death, and mm-hmm. they're like celebrated for it. And all the mm-hmm. other gnats are older and are more like natural and elemental spirits. So there's like guardians of spirits of water, of earth, air, etc. So Mapewa is one of the peaceful ones, the second type. Mm-hmm. She was known as the guardian of cemeteries and graveyards. She takes on the form of a woman with long flowing black hair, which is a theme that reoccurs a lot in my sources. I feel like all of mine involve a woman with long flowing black hair. Yeah, exactly. And again, with our double hour, instead of 3 a.m., she prefers midnight.
You know what? You need to get an early start to your night sometimes yeah. and, like, just finish up early.
Yeah.
I personally could not stay up till 3. So. Or wake up at 3 a.m. I know you can't say the same.
So at midnight, Ma Pewa will rise from her wherever she's chilling in whichever graveyard she comes from. She will hoist up a coffin on her shoulders and leave the cemetery to the nearby town. She'll be seen with her black hair flowing as she walks, but it's actually more of a shuffle. She just doesn't walk properly.
Mm-hmm. I don't think ghosts ever do.
Yeah. But she, she makes it to her destination. She'll come to a house, and she'll just gently place the coffin on the doorstep. And shortly after she does that, someone in the household...
will drag a chair. Sorry for interrupting.
All good. So someone in the household, usually a child, will get sick and die.
Mm-hmm.
So to deter her from their home, superstitious people from Myanmar will put a yellow ribbon on their door to signify that the family is in mourning. And because she's relatively a kind ghost, she's just more of like a harbinger.
I don't know, actually.
A that of death. She doesn't want to bring them any more sadness, and she'll move on to the next home that she wants to target. Until the 1990s, a famous Buddhist monk named Kayin State, that could be pronounced differently, but I'm not sure. But anyway, he saw Ma Pewa in a dream where she announced that she wanted to eat the flesh of babies. And he suggested that people should discourage her from doing that by encouraging her to eat dogs instead.
Okay.
So, people would post signs outside saying, "Our baby's flesh is bitter, but the dog's flesh is sweet." Yeah.
Why can't they just offer,
like pork other... or something?
Yeah, like things that have already been chopped up, basically.
I think she wanted, fresh meat. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
That does make sense. Just give her some beef.
Or yeah.
Oh, wait, do they eat beef in...
I don't know. Maybe not.
Chicken? I'm not wary of the diets of culture.
Yes.
Not entirely related, but I did want to tell you or talk about a story that was an article that was written in the BBC documenting the relocation of the dead, which is a process that involved the city of Naypyidaw, a huge but empty city in 2006. So in 2006, the Myanmar government decided for a multitude of reasons, like politics, how close to the sea they were, risk of invasion, but they decided to move the capital city from Yangon to Naypyidaw. I'm definitely butchering these. But in a nutshell, Tan Shui, the head of state at the time, was told that if he did not move the capital, his rule would collapse. And in the article, he wrote, "Unlike Yangon, which was still haunted by the ghost of the colonial past, Naypyidaw was to be a clean slate." So Captain Ang Kant was in charge of relocating the cemetery in Tatkon Township, which was in the Naypyidaw area, in order to develop a monastery and build the district court on the land in preparation for it becoming the new capital. So one of the challenges of this was that the family members of the deceased were unhappy with the move. But at the time, the government was under military rule, so no one could really stop them.
Mm-hmm.
The second and more troubling challenge was the deceased were unhappy with the move. Many of those buried in Tatkon were Japanese soldiers, and the Burmese believed that those who suffered violent deaths create spiritual residues that funerals cannot completely release, quote. So if those ghosts didn't want to relocate, they would fight back by stalling cars and, fucking with all the equipment, making it dangerous for workers and other people living in the town. So after they relocated the bodies successfully, the government sent 12 trucks to move the ghosts to join their other halves.
Damn.
And they hired a natsaya, which is a if you remember, like, Nat is spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So a Natsaya is a spirit master.
Mm-hmm.
He was hired to oversee and direct the ghosts onto the trucks, loading them on about 10 at a time. And it was said that you could visibly see the trucks getting heavier and sinking into the ground as they were being loaded. And sometimes the trucks would get stuck from the weight.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the Natsaya would be like, okay, some of you get off, the truck would be able to move again.
Oh my god, that's so cool.
I know. I was freaking out when I read this.
Yeah.
And with over 1,000 bodies that were relocated, the relocation took 3 journeys per day for 3 days, making a total of 108 journeys. And this was intentional because 108 is a sacred number. Buddha's footprints are marked with 108 sacred symbols.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the people reported to be able to actually see the ghosts in addition to the Natsaya, and they said that the ghosts were usually 2 meters tall with huge ears and tusks and long tongues, and they would often be like really unruly, and they would even fight over who gets to sit in the passenger seat.
I love that. Shotgun.
Just like fighting each other in the back.
Yeah.
And then apparently they were often scolded for fighting by the Natsaya and moved to the back of the truck. The night after all the relocations were done, the captain's assistant was contacted in his dreams by 3 ghosts. Mm-hmm. Saying that they had been left behind. And so they went back the next day and found 3 additional graves in the underbrush.
Oh my god.
I know, it's freaking crazy. Can you imagine just like 3 giant 2-meter tall demons in your dreams? Like, you left me behind.
Just come and get me.
Like the like pleading eye emoji, you know, with the huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just think it's so cute. Like, you forgot about us.
Captain, please.
Yeah. There was also apparently one really stubborn ghost that refused to leave and made the captain's assistant's car his home. He also started causing a series of calamities, including bulldozers breaking down, one of the neighbor's hood cats died suddenly, and it was brought to a stop when a monk came in to recite some scriptures to soothe the spirit or whatever.
Makes sense.
And in the same article, the journalist, I forgot to write down their name, but it's in our show notes. Good, amazing article. They contacted another Natsaya, not the one that was hired for the relocation, but he bared witness to the event, said that he often consulted Mapewa. And she would often help him out with soothing the spirits as they were, like, being transported. And he said that she was in charge of all the other graveyard spirits in Myanmar. And that she was very clean and very beautiful.
Mm.
That's it.
That's it.
The long-winded extra story that I had that didn't really connect to Mapewa, but still a little bit connected to Mapewa.
Yeah. Just a little bit.
I apologize for the noise. There's...
You know what? It adds to the effect of it. It's fine.
Your turn.
All right. The next one I have is short, but it's a very well-known urban legend, again, in Korea as well.
Is that the toilet ghosts?
It is not the toilet ghost.
Oh.
It's the urban legend of the hollow-eyed woman in Korea. Have you heard about this one?
Oh, I've seen...
The photos fuck me up. Anyways, we're just gonna dive right into it then.
Yeah, I'll let you know because I think I've seen something, but I don't know if it's related.
Yeah, I feel like this is one where there are several hollow-eyed women and kind of stories and urban legends around it across different cultures. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. In this specific urban legend, there is a very infamous highway called Jayuro that connects Goyan to Paju. This stretch of highway is found just north of Seoul. Seoul? Seoul. Yeah.
Seoul.
Yeah. I don't know why I questioned myself on that one.
S-E-O-U-L.
This highway is known for constantly getting blanketed by a very, very thick fog, which makes it hard to drive, especially during the night. And therefore, it causes a lot of car accidents every single year. However, there are also other people reporting that sometimes they're driving along this stretch of road and there's a bit of fog. And on the side of the road, they see a woman just standing there.
Oh, I do know.
From far away, it looks like she's just wearing a pair of sunglasses standing on the side of the highway. No biggie. She does also have long black hair. And from the images portraying it, she's also in like a fucking white nightgown type of shit. You know, like the most freaky looking fucking thing ever. Mm-hmm. As the drivers get closer and they start to pass by her, they realize that she's not wearing sunglasses, but rather her eyes have been gouged out and hollowed. Thus, the hollowed-eyed woman.
Yep.
It's said that she jumps in front of the car, causing accidents on the road, and that she eventually takes the dead bodies away into the forest, and no one knows what happens after this. Mm-hmm. The root of this legend has it that the woman was originally a hitchhiker who wanted a ride. Mm-hmm. And that night that she was hitchhiking was the night of a full moon. Unfortunately, the person who picked her up killed her in the woods and gouged her eyes out. And the legend has it that she now does the same to her victims. Oh. My hope is that she does it to like shitty men. That's or like shitty people in general. That's like, yeah. I'm like, yeah.
Not just like random people driving on the highway.
Yeah. And so this is, I feel like there's so many different versions of this or mm-hmm. just versions of people seeing other people on the highway. And it's like, don't stop. Don't even stop. Like, just don't do it. I will never be the type of person that will pick someone up off the side of the road. Yeah, never.
Me neither. My friend's done it, like, out of the kindness of his heart, bless his soul. Like, he like, picked up a lady who, like, really needed help. And he was able to help her out, and she was, like, super That's thankful good. For it. But, yeah, like, I... please don't get in my car.
We've read enough, we've seen enough to, like, mm-hmm. be very skeptical. I definitely do think that there are people who genuinely need help sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I also think I'm a woman, and I think too. I'm a lot more scared than most guys are.
Yeah. Like, you hear a lot of stories just about people being, like, really sketchy mm-hmm. and whatnot. So I just not into it.
Okay, so this one I do know, but I found out, or I didn't realize it was, like, a super popular Korean urban legend. But mm-hmm. There's a series on Netflix. It's, like, a bunch of scary, like, it's, like, a bunch of short stories in the form of, like, episodes.
Yeah.
But they're all kind of intricate. I forget what it's called.
Yeah.
But
I feel like if you kind of do a quick Google search with some key terms, like
yeah.
Netflix so series, Korean
there's
short
like
stories.
A washroom one, there's a like school bathroom one, there's there's an elevator one, and there's also this taxi one. So I was like, oh.
I
kind of thought that you were, I was going to bring it up at the elevator one, because I thought that you were going to talk about that story that they do in that show. But mm-hmm. you did a different one that reminded me of something else. So
yeah.
But yeah, cool. Awesome. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. So my next one is from Thailand. The Pret or Phi Preta, aka Hungry Ghosts. So these ghouls are products of Buddhist reincarnation, as in their past lives, they were often ungrateful, greedy, and gluttonous. They become trapped in a transient state between death and rebirth. The Pret are extremely tall, so about like 2 stories tall.
Holy fuck!
So huge.
I would already shit my pants at that point. Uh-huh. I feel like we should just name this episode Shit Your Pants. Or in the description, are you ready to shit your pants?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yes.
I'm on it. They're extremely tall, and they're very lanky, and they have huge hands. Other than their size, they have 2 main defining characteristics. The first one is their insatiable appetite, which is karma from being greedy in their past life. So they are always hungry, and they'll never feel satisfied.
That feels like, yes, it's karma, but also unfortunate for humanity.
Yeah. And the second one, which is also very unfortunate, they have tiny, tiny, tiny mouths. The size
of... Oh my god!
The size of a pin needle hole.
Stop, So they are 2 stories tall, always fucking hungry, but can only eat like
not even a grain seed. Of rice.
Like yeah. a seed. Yeah. Like a very small seed, like a mm-hmm. flax seed or a chia seed.
Yeah. Smaller.
Nice.
Which is karma from gossiping and
oh my god.
arguing back at or bringing pain to your parents. So this was often a way for parents to discipline their children.
Yeah, yeah.
So together with those traits, it made it absolutely impossible for the pret to ever be satisfied. Families of the deceased that think that their children will become pret will often perform rituals and provide offerings to help fill up their loved one. Which is kind of sad that your family thinks you're a piece of trash. Some pretas have a kong chakra circling their heads, which is a circular weapon which kind of looks like a chainsaw with spiky blades, but inversed. So it spins, but the blades are on the inside.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's just cutting their heads constantly.
Mm-hmm. Shit.
Yeah. Other than being, like, really spooky and scary, they're relatively harmless to people. They just spend their life begging for forgiveness, but are constantly hangry.
Wow. I can see why this would be, like, a cautionary tale that parents will tell their kids and be like, make sure you're respectful, make sure you eat only what you need, etc.
Yep. And a lot of temples actually have statues of these freaky creatures a reminder for people to not be greedy and to be good people. They're also celebrated with a hungry ghost festival called Wan Sart in southern Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when the pret are allowed to join the realm of the living for 15 days. And mm-hmm. people will bring food, drinks, desserts, fruits, all like mini-sized so that they can fit in like the little hole mouths as offerings. So it's all like tiny little like... orders.
All I'm thinking, have you seen those, like, TikToks of people doing tiny kitchens?
Oh!
So they make, like, tiny...
like, for the little hamsters?
Yeah.
No, but they're usually, like, bite-sized.
Yeah, I love that. That's so cute.
Mm-hmm. And some of the desserts are also shaped like clothes or accessories and meant to be offerings for the pret to wear. After being blessed by monks and offered to the pret, the food can be taken home by families for good luck. And similar festivities are also seen around Singapore and parts of China.
Yeah. There's something that they do in China. I remember, like, we would always talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost the same. It's similar to, you know, in Mexico, they do Day of the Dead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so it's just a time where you get to reconnect with... like ancestors who have passed and mm-hmm. all of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of similar. It's like offerings and yeah. all of that. And like putting out, my grandma, even throughout the entire year, it doesn't matter, she'll like mm-hmm. put out a bowl of rice on the shrine kind
yeah,
of
thing yeah, yeah.
for the relatives and all that. And like you light incense and mm-hmm. all of that. So
I yeah. saw one article. I didn't link it because I didn't use any of their sources, but
yeah.
or I didn't use anything that they wrote, but yeah. they showed like their family made like bento boxes for each of like for the pets to enjoy before
yeah.
Sharing it with the community.
That's so cute.
Yeah. And the bento boxes have all like little pieces of food.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's
nice.
That's the pret of Thailand.
Cool. All right. The last one I have here is from China. And this one takes place in my parents' hometown in I'm going to do everything in Kanto today because I just feel like it.
Okay.
So you do, you I usually do it in Mandarin. I don't know why, but I'm going to do it in Kanto today.
Okay.
So this one takes place in my parents' hometown of Guangzhou in China.
Oh, is that like Guangzhou?
Yeah.
Ah.
Specifically, it takes place at the Laiwan Gongcheng or the Laiwan Plaza.
Mm-hmm.
And this plaza is found on... Hagaolo in the Laiwan district of Guangzhou. So basically, this road is a very famous road. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different shops that you can go to, and it's a pedestrian street in Guangzhou that is really famous among tourists. So people who go there will usually visit this area. You can go shopping, very cheap items, because China. And you can get a, like, I remember getting a bunch of clothes, shoes, and just like these little trinkets to bring back to my friends. Nice. As well as a lot of places that you can stop to grab like food and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But at the sort of end of it is where Laiwan Guangcheng is, or Laiwan Plaza. This plaza was built back in 1996. It is 6 stories tall with more than 2,000 shops present day.
Oh, so like it's a mall.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know why they chose to say, like, some people say it's a plaza, some people say it's a square, but it's like sort of like a mall. Like, all the articles I read in English is that plaza or square. But the Chinese version of it basically is what we would call a mall.
So yeah.
Whatever. Essentially, it was known for being the pinnacle of real estate prosperity at the time because you had this mall in the middle,
mm-hmm.
or plaza, square, whatever. I'm going to use all of those words interchangeably moving forward, so just be prepared. And surrounding it were 8 tall buildings for residential suites. Not mm-hmm. suites, but like units, basically. And so you have, you know, the pedestrian street, although it is very popular, the buildings and the residents and the houses around it were all very worn down. And I know this because, like, my grandma literally lived there, and every time we would stay with them, it's like a very rundown place, but a lot of people live there anyways because it's close to all your basic necessities and all of that. Since that time, this area has lost their reputation for being, you know, a very successful real estate place because of several incidents. And when I say several, there were quite a few
mm-hmm.
incidents of people jumping to their deaths from the building.
Oh.
Yeah. Between 2004 and the time of the article that I read, which was 2017, there had been around 12 suicides from the building. Some witnesses reported that it almost seemed as though a supernatural force had pushed the victims over the railings. Many people in Guangzhou are quite superstitious, and so a lot of the people, the locals, believe that this plaza has been cursed since its inception.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, as the plaza and its 8 surrounding towers were being built, the construction workers dug up something a little interesting.
Mm.
They came across 8 empty coffins, and when they were digging them up, it was said that they heard some weird rattling and sounds coming from the inside, but they opened it and they were empty.
Okay.
And so it was said that the grounds that they were building the plaza on, and all of these 8 towers, was home to a sacrificial chamber during the Qing Dynasty.
Okay.
When these 8 coffins were discovered, the architects kind of redesigned the building and the plaza a little bit to resemble an octagon because it was believed that 8 sides would
money.
8 in general, like in Chinese, like, it's supposed to be a lucky number, but it's also represents sort of how you would contain all the energy and contain ghosts. And so when people try to summon their ancestors during the ghost festival, I don't know what the actual name for it is, but you have 8 people at the table, and it has to be 8 family members to try to summon your old ancestors and to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of, there's a lot of things tied to the number 8 in China.
Mm-hmm.
A Taoist priest arrived on scene and let the landlords know that the coffins had originally been buried to contain evil energies and spirits.
Mm-hmm.
It was said that they should not be disturbed for 1,000 years. And so, considering that the Qing Dynasty ended in 1644 and they unearthed these in like 1996, they definitely did not wait long enough. That was like 300 years.
They had to wait 700 more.
Not the greatest sign, you know.
Uh-huh.
Could have waited a little bit longer. They definitely were very eager to build these new buildings and sort of kind of redevelop an area and bring more life and like real estate to mm-hmm. the area. But
I feel like that happens so often. They like mess with some land that they're not supposed to just to make money.
Yeah. There have been many people who have since jumped to their deaths, and oftentimes it was from the 5th floor. It's not really known why, maybe because there's 6 stories, but mm-hmm. people always choose to jump from the 5th. And so that's why I think people are like, maybe they're standing there and they get like pushed off by a supernatural force by one of the evil energies.
That's scary.
Many people also report that the building feels several degrees cooler than everywhere else outside. And yes, it could just be AC or it could be something else. I was like,
I don't know about that one.
I know there's AC everywhere.
Yeah, like that. In China, especially like Guangzhou, isn't it like hot there usually?
It's really hot.
Super
but
hot.
In the winter, it's definitely not. Like people wear jackets and everything because it gets pretty cold since they're a coastal city.
Mm. So. True. Because I know those malls are cold.
Mm-hmm. They're fucking freezing. Yeah. Like, easily, I literally would always bring a little, like, cardigan with me. Because I would go from outside where it's, like, 40 degrees, and then you'd get into one of these malls, and you're like, I'm so cold. Like, I have goosebumps.
And there's always certain stores that are way colder than the others.
Yeah.
Yeah. I miss China.
To really put the nail in the coffin of the curse of this plaza...
Mm-hmm.
The word gong, which is guang, so Guangzhou and gongcheng, so it uses the same word, which you're hearing from, like, the G sound that I'm making.
Yeah.
I don't really know how else to say it.
No, you're good.
But this word, they have, obviously, like, on the front of the mall, they have, like, the words Laiwan Gongcheng, just to say, like, this is a plaza, this is the Laiwan Plaza.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that they chose to write it, and to inscribe it on the building.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like the word corpse in Chinese.
What's the word for corpse?
So instead of... It looks really similar. So I'll try to find a photo comparing the two.
Mm-hmm.
But it's literally just a couple lines of a difference in terms of the character.
Oh.
So instead of looking like... You know, when you read it, instead of reading it as Laiwan Plaza,
mm-hmm.
it looks more like Laiwan Corpse Field or Laiwan... Cemetery.
Like, it's coincidental, but spook.
But also very spooky. So I wanted to look into this one because, like, my parents talked about it all the time, and they're all, like, I've never been there.
Yeah, I was gonna ask if you've been there.
Like, I've been to China several times, but, like, no one brings me there because they're like, yeah, we're not going there. Because it's just bad luck, right?
Oh, it's bad juju.
You don't even, you don't even want to go there. You don't want to tempt fate kind of thing. Because everyone is quite superstitious.
Yeah.
And so there aren't a lot of companies. Like, no one local will set up their shops there. They'll set it up everywhere else because there's so many other places you can set up shops.
So is it like a ghost building now? Like, just
a little bit. But there's a lot of, like, bigger... franchises that will set up there, so foreign investors, they'll just dump, they'll like put it there for a little bit and then just move it out because they'll realize this is not going to be profitable. But sometimes they'll get people just like on the initiation of it where they're like, oh, there's something new here, they'll go and buy stuff. But
dang, that's creaky,
very spooky.
I really wanted to do a Vietnamese one because I was like, oh, Leanne's doing East Asia. She's from East Asia. Well, she's not from East Asia, but she's East Asian. And I was like, oh, I want to do, like, a Vietnamese one. But I only know the Vietnamese names for it, and they, like, kind of don't trans... Like, I couldn't find any articles to talk about any of them. Dang, it was so hard to find. And the ones that I did find, there's, like, barely any information on it.
This is such a big tangent, but I've been... I was working through some of the material for the Indigenous Canada thing, like the online course. Basically, they were talking about how oral stories are obviously a big part of Indigenous cultures, right?
Oral storytelling?
And storytelling, yeah. And so I wonder if that's the same sort of in Asian cultures as well, where a lot of it might not be written down. And so you lose a lot of these stories that you hear from, like, your relatives. You're like, ooh, that's real spooky, but I can't find it online because it's just not written about as much.
Yeah, like, there's, specifically, I wanted to find Amge, which is, like the Vietnamese boogeyman, basically. Who, like, kidnap you and, like, grab your feet when you're being bad and you won't go to sleep. And my grandma would always threaten me with him.
Honestly, yeah. My parents never told me, like, scary stories or anything. Because, like, anytime I would always, we watch a lot of ghost shows as kids, and I would be so scared. I think I was scared enough for them, like, not to want to freak me out even more. Because it was actually worse. Like, I wouldn't be able to sleep if they said, oh, if you don't go to sleep, this person's gonna come and get you. I'd be like, yeah, I can't fucking sleep now. Like, I'm like, what do you think? Grab me.
No, my grandma was like, go to sleep right now. And I'd be like, closing my eyes. Yeah, like,
I'm asleep.
And then sometimes, like, because I used to sleep with my grandma. Mm-hmm. She would, like, grab my leg and I'd freak the fuck out.
Oh, my God. I would cry.
Yeah. And then I'd, like, freak out. I'd be like, and then she's like, it's okay. I'll protect you. And then she'll, like, yell at, like, leave her alone. She's being good. She's going to sleep now, you know?
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
That's how she handled it. But, yeah. Okay, so the last one on my side is from the Philippines. And it is the Manananga. Hopefully I'm saying that right. But she is the most freaky deaky thing I've ever seen, dude. Like, her story got me fucked up. But basically, she is, or they are, or maybe she is, uncertain if it's one or multiple women. Mm-hmm. But they, I think it's multiple. But the Manananga are female, but apparently disgusting and hideous, with bulging wide eyes, incredibly messy hair, and huge bat-like wings that come out at night.
Holy fuck.
So they can grow fangs, and their fingers can also change into sharp claws. Their name comes from the word tangel, which means remover or separator. And this is because she is capable of severing her upper torso from the rest of her body, with the intestines trailing behind as they fly to find their next victim.
Holy fuck. Okay.
They are also often accompanied by a bird. And there's a few variations of what I read this bird is. One of them is that it is a little black chick living inside of the Manananga that is passed on to the victims, where the chick will eat the hosts from the inside out while still keeping them alive.
Holy ass. Okay.
Another is a tick-tick bird that hangs out with the Manananga and uses its claws to confuse potential victims. I'm not exactly sure how they do that, but someone gets confused and then the Manananga swoops in and just...
yum. Yeah.
She also has a very long tongue, trigger warning, to prey on sleeping pregnant women to suck out their blood, and in some cases, the hearts of the fetuses.
Oh.
And sometimes just the entire fetus.
Oh.
They also enjoy eating happily married couples.
Oh.
And sometimes just random men. The Manananggal will transform into a beautiful woman, lure him into an isolated area where she eats them alive, specifically targeting their stomachs, hearts, and livers.
Wow. I don't really have any other words other than, wow, all right. Wow.
They're not okay in sunlight, so they will die.
Good.
In the sun.
Yeah, no, I was going to say they sound a little bit like vampires.
Like, yeah, kind of, sucking. Minus the whole, like, yeah, minus the whole
fetus devouring.
Fetus eating.
Yeah.
Body separating. But they can be destroyed by sprinkling crushed garlic or ash on the... I also read salt in some articles. On the top of the bottom half of the torso. So while the top half is, like, out and about doing its thing, the bottom half is kind of uncontrolled and just kind of, like, stands there. Or,
that
like, flies
so
there.
Fucking funny.
Depending. Yeah. It's just kind of there. So you find the bottom half, sprinkle some shit on the top of it, and that prevents the top from reattaching itself. Mm-hmm. So by the time the sun comes up, the two parts can't attach, they can't escape, and they die.
Yeah.
They're also apparently vulnerable to daggers, light, vinegar, and stingray tails.
Mm-hmm. I'm just gonna grab a stingray out of my aquarium and... You know what? Yeah. Gotta do what you gotta do. I wonder, like, you know, instead of raising
fish... People
had fish,
those ready in their house.
Yeah. They just have stingrays in their aquariums. Maybe, honestly.
Grab them.
Yeah.
So usually they when finding their targets, they'll fly to your house, land on the roof, and then make their way inside.
Definitely not Santa Claus.
What's that?
Thumpity, thump, thump,
thump, thump,
thump. No, oh, wait, that's the fucking Frosty.
There's a sound effect somewhere in some...
Yeah, one of Christmas the Christmas jingle. Carols, yeah. I can't remember it right now.
I can't either. But yeah, not Santa Claus. It is definitely a mananga. And one way Filipinos would ward them off is by leaving pots of uncooked rice, ash, or salt around the vicinity of the home. Mm-hmm. If the demon lands on the roof and sees those, she will simply leave.
Good. Bitch.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
And that's it. That's all my scary stories.
I love it.
We done finished. We got through them all.
Yeah. And we made good time on it, too. Like, this is a good length.
I honestly thought we would take a little longer, but...
I thought it was going to be, like, 30 minutes when he started, because I was like, mine are really short, but we're masters at talking.
Yeah. No, and I, like, consume so much creepy content that I just... Hell yeah, I have so much to talk about.
I've been on TikTok, and I think, did you send this one to me? But I'm not sure. There's this girl doing like 31 days of spooky lake stories, and she keeps popping up on my For You page, and it's just basically her going through like random lakes that are kind of have like spooky tales tied to them, and it's just so funny. There's so many people who are just so into just spooky things around the world. I'm like, I fucking love it. I love these people.
Dude, I love scary stuff.
But I hope you enjoyed our scary stories. Let us know who you think has the scariest story. Yeah. Personally, I think the Philippines like kind of killed it with this one. Freaky vampire.
I think also if you have any spooky stories that you like or that you've experienced yourself or you've seen, let us know. Mm-hmm. Like, I would love to know about it. I know
you have listener tales.
Yeah. Oh my god, yes. And then also I should have said this during like the elevator part of it, but I remember my cousin, he went to Japan, and he has some spooky elevator shit too, where it would just like stop at floors that they didn't press on, and it would fucking open, and it would just like close and everything. And it did that. Dude, often.
Living in an apartment building with an elevator is just like bad vibes. I hate being in the elevator at night by myself.
Yep, I just don't do it at all. That's why I stay in all day. Like, I don't even go out because I don't want to take the elevator. I'm kidding, but yeah, it's spooky vibes all the time.
Alright, we'll probably do two separate Instagram posts, probably like one for Leanne's stories and then one for my own, because we do have a lot of stories to cover, and I want to give us both the chance to share the images related to those stories, so keep a lookout for those.
And if you wanted to see those Instagram posts, you can go to @incrimination on Instagram, and if you wanted to take a look at all of our show notes for all the spooky stories that we went through today, you can check out our show notes at bit.ly/incrimination, all lowercase.
That's going to be a long list of articles.
It will be.
That'll probably be our longest, like, bibliography section ever.
Yes. All right.
All right.
Bye.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.